We're going to look in Mark chapter 2. What I have on my heart tonight is I don't think going to be take very long to deliver, and but I want to share this thought with you tonight. I believe it'll really make a difference. It has the potential to really make a difference, I believe, in our church and in our meeting that's coming up. And how many believes that's the reason the Lord made a difference in us is so we could make a difference in this world that we live in? The Bible said, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. If you'll read the book of Jude, it's not very long. It's just, I think, about 27, 28 verses, something like that. But if you'll read the book of Jude, he tells us early in the book of Jude to earnestly contend for the faith. Now, he didn't say anything about the new stuff coming down the road. He said that was once delivered unto the saints. Amen. And if you'll read from there on, he's telling you and showing you the stark contrast between God's people and the people that are in the way of Cain and in the way of Balaam and the way of this world. And then he comes over there, I think it's long about verse 20, and he uses that word, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. I believe God wants us to make a difference. And I believe I have a thought on my heart tonight that would help us to make a difference. Y'all need to pray for that youngin' going out there. Amen. I heard a story about a dad that told his son if he didn't straighten up, he's going to take him out. And said, first thing you know, he didn't straighten up. And said the dad just grabbed him around the waist. Said that little boy's head was sticking out back here. And all them good Baptists was turning around looking as dad took him out. Said that little boy said, pray, people, pray. Amen. Pray, amen. It's time to pray, amen. The Board of Education might be fixing to meet the seat of learning. Amen. You don't never know, amen. I'll tell you, it's good to be saved, isn't it? Mark chapter number 2 tonight, the Bible said in verse number 1, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. I'm glad the Lord is in the house. I'm going to say something tonight. God help us. How many's ever had a job that you dreaded going to? What I'm about to say ain't very pleasant, amen. But God help us that we'd never have a church that we dreaded going to. That we could just be thrilled to get to go to church, amen, and get to meet with God's people and get to hear the songs of Zion and get to hear the Word of God. Not that I have to, I get to, amen. I don't have to preach tonight, Brother Larry, you get to. You don't have to preach Wednesday night, you get to, brother. We get to pray. We get to read our Bible. And the Bible said here, it was noise that he was in the house. Straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith. Let me say this tonight. I didn't see this morning. But in this text right here, you see two things. You see that they had a faith that could see, and they also had a faith that could be seen.
In other words, their faith could see this man sick of the palsy healed. It could see him helped. If they could just get him to Jesus, their faith was Jesus will take care of him. But the Bible said that Jesus saw their faith. See, they had a faith that could see, and Jesus could see their faith. Beloved, all we can see is the evidence of faith. Amen. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So I guess tonight, what the Lord would say to us here is, do we have a faith that can see? Through eyes of faith, could you see God using you to make a difference in somebody else's life? Through the eyes of faith, can you see God using you to help somebody else to get to where Jesus is? Amen? You see, preacher, I don't know if we have a role in that or not. Well, I believe we do. The Word of God said over there in the book of Proverbs, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The Word of God said, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. You know what that sounds like to me? I didn't get this after, a while ago, but sounds like to me knocking holes in the darkness. Amen? They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. They that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen. Tonight, the Bible is teaching us here, Jesus saw their faith. He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there reasoning in their hearts, and why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? They were looking at him, weren't they? Say, amen. God incarnate, amen. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether it's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin. Let me ask you something tonight. Has this power diminished? Does he still have power on earth, amen, to forgive sins? Yes, he does. And the Word of God said here, look, notice what he said. Why reason ye these things in your heart? But that ye may know in verse 10 that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you, God, tonight for speaking to our hearts this morning. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts once again from this passage of Scripture. And God, we'll give you glory for what you do. Save the lost, our Lord. Strengthen the children of God. God, I pray tonight, Lord, you'd just give us a good meeting around the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship of your dear people. God, I thank you for those that are praying for this preacher. I thank you, God, for those that are praying for our church. I thank you, God, for those that are praying for revival. I thank you, Lord, for those that even listening by the internet. And Lord, I just praise you, Lord, that we have friends scattered out all around the globe. God, I pray tonight, our Lord, that you'll just help us tonight. Lord, help us, please. Lord, send a revival and let it begin in me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to pick up on something tonight that I believe will be a blessing to you. Look here in verse number three. The Bible said this, and they come unto him bringing one. They come unto him bringing one. Brother Larry preached out of that chapter down through there on the atmosphere of revival this morning. But this thought tonight How many believe there's an atmosphere of revival in this story right here? Jesus is in the house. Amen. People are getting help. People are getting people to the Lord. But this phrase jumped out at me last night, and the Holy Ghost just seemed to finger around my heart and say, just double right back Sunday night with that. Ain't no way to get all that in one service. Amen. Watch this now. The Bible said, they come unto Him bringing one. I want to stop right there. They come unto Him bringing one. Now let me just say this to you tonight. If we think about Bible Way Baptist Church corporately, all of us together, that's a good way to think of our church. Amen. But let me say this. When you think in the means of the corporate, so to speak, and you think about the revival that's coming up, and you think about the meeting that's coming up, and you think about the things you would like to see done for the glory of God, that's one thing. But I believe God wants to hone in here tonight. Even these teenagers that are here tonight, and these young adults, and the seniors that are in this room tonight. And here's what I believe would make a difference. Lord, help me to come bringing one. If we get it, Brother Sam, as an individual, a burden as an individual, for an individual, help me, Lord, to bring one. To bring one. How many's getting the point? Amen. You say, preacher, I don't know who I'd bring. That's why we need to be praying. I believe the Holy Ghost is still the Holy Ghost. I believe the Holy Ghost can put somebody on your heart, Brother Gale, and be working on the other end at the same time He's working on your end. Amen. Somebody, the Lord put me on somebody's heart years ago, and they prayed for me, and they witnessed to me, and they came bringing one. And tonight, what God's wanting us to see is, they just came bringing one. Here we are. Think about this. Over 2,000 years down the road, still talking about that one, Brother Grizzle, that they brought to Jesus. I'm telling you, the one that you might bring, Brother Kyle, or the one that you might bring, Brother Rossi. You say, Brother Rossi's old. He's too old to bring somebody. That's a lie. Say amen. Ain't nobody in this building too old to bring somebody. I believe every one of us, amen, if we just get it in our heart and in our mind, God, I can't come bringing 100. I can't come bringing 50. But Lord, surely you can help me to bring one. Into the house where Jesus is. Amen? One. If we get that on our mind, one. They came bringing one. Guess what? It might be the one that turns Kingsport upside down for the glory of God. Somebody brought D.L. Moody. Say amen. Somebody went and got him. Amen. Somebody told him about Jesus. Somebody noised that the Lord was in the house and God saved him and used him in a mighty way. Amen. You see, God wants us to have, let me give you something real quickly. There are two things in the Bible that cause Jesus to marvel. Number one, remember the centurion? The centurion said, brother, he said, Lord, he said, you don't need to come down there where I'm at. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But he said, you just speak the word. And he said, my servant will be healed. Amen. And Jesus said to that centurion, he said, I've not seen so great faith. No, not in all Israel. Jesus marveled at that great faith of that centurion. But the other thing Jesus marveled at was unbelief. Both of those areas of the spectrum caused Jesus to marvel. And the Word of God said He did not many marvelous works there because of their unbelief. Can I tell you something right now? If we want to see God do marvelous works in our midst, we have to believe Him. The Word of God said faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God said without faith, it's impossible to please God. For we must believe that He is. You say, preacher, I just don't believe I can make a difference. Okay, I'm not fussing. But are you really believing the Word of God? Are you really walking in faith? Brother Ralph Roberts, if you sit there and you say, I can't help nobody, that ain't believing God, is it, brother? But I tell you what, in our feebleness and in our weakness, we can fall on our face and say, God, I don't have what they need, but I know the one who does. And I believe you can help me, Lord, to get them to you. Amen. Get them to the one that can help them. Amen. They came bringing one. The Bible didn't say bringing two. The Bible didn't say bringing three. How many people's in this room tonight? They got to be well over 100 people in this room tonight. Now, what does that mean? Brother Kyle, it means if each one brought one, they'd be 200 people in this room tonight. Now, you say, preacher, are you all about numbers? No, if you even know me, you know that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know how sinners get saved? Let me tell you how they get saved. One at a time. One at a time. It wouldn't matter if 10 of them walked down the aisle together. They're still going to get saved one at a time. Some get saved in the altar. Some got saved at that first step when they swallowed their stinking pride. Amen. And they understood that Jesus was what they needed and the Savior could save them. And they believed Him. Whenever they believed Him and received Him, God saved them by His grace. Amen. Now tonight, they came bringing one. Let me ask you something tonight. I'm not trying to pick tonight, but if I had lived my life as a Christian for 26 years and I hadn't made a difference in somebody's life, at least somebody's life, been able to point them to the Lord, you know what I believe I'd do? I believe I'd really get serious about praying. I'd say, God, don't let me leave this world, amen, without making a difference in somebody's life. And see, I believe what the major thought is tonight is this. God don't want us to be thinking corporately right now. God wants us to be thinking individually. Brother Ronnie's wanting you to think, Lord, who is it? Lord, surely there's got to be one that I could bring. Surely there's got to be one that if I invited him, he'd come and he'd get under the sound of the gospel. He said, preacher, what about from there? It's between them and the Lord after there. Say amen. But I believe God can use his people to help them to get here. Amen. How many believe that? How many realize that we're living in a day when it's rare? Brother Larry, it's rare to see people that are lost and understand they're lost in the house of God. Let me ask you something. Let me ask you a question. I'm not fussing. I'm trying to get to the message. But listen to me. Are sinners just exactly what sinners always have been? How many would raise your hand? I say, yep, they're pretty much just exactly what they always have been. Amen. Now let me ask you this question to challenge our hearts tonight, pastor included. Are the saints what they always have been? Brother Larry, we're shaking our head because you and I are preachers of the gospel. And we don't have the burden, brother, sometimes that we ought to have. Amen. We're not shedding the tears that we ought to shed. We're not putting in the shoe leather time that we ought to put in. And I believe with all of my heart, God is saying to Pastor Vinoy, you might not bring 100, but surely, surely, surely you can bring one. Bring one. Bring one. They came bringing one. This man's life will never be the same because somebody came bringing one. Now let me give you something tonight. I'll just get into the message real quickly. What do we need, preacher? They come unto him bringing one. There's three things real quickly tonight. Number one, we need a vision for souls. We need a vision. The Bible said where there's no vision, the people perish. Now let me give you something. You might not agree with me right here. But if you'll take notes in your mental mind, you'll agree with me. You know the church that's going to flourish and the church that's God's going to bless? It's the church that's got their eyes, number one, on the Savior and number two, on the souls of men. Am I right or am I wrong? Amen. That where we don't sit down and get complacent like it's me and my four and no more. Amen. But we've got a genuine burden. The Bible said, Jesus told his disciples, don't say there's 3 months and then cometh harvest. But he said, lift up your eyes for the fields are wide already unto harvest. I believe tonight we need a vision for souls. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm looking. You can say, you think I'm crazy. I'm looking for a floodgate around here one of these days. Say amen. I'm telling you, I thank God for everyone that gets saved. And they all get saved one at a time. That's how I'm looking for the Lord to do some marvelous thing. You know why? Because we're going to realize it's not just pastor's duty. It's not just pastor's responsibility. But I can bring one. Amen. I can get him to the Lord. Amen. And the Lord can do the work. A vision for souls. Let me give you something right quick. There's three things here I want to say. They saw the need. They saw the need. They saw a man that could not help himself. Here's what I want to ask. How many of y'all know somebody right now lost in sin? You're not judging them, but according to their own testimony, if they die tonight and you read their name in the obituary, the first thing that would come to your mind is, oh my, they didn't know the Lord. How many know somebody like that tonight? They did not know Christ. Well, let me tell you something. When we read their name in the obituary, it's too late. It's too late to get a burden. It's too late. You can't bring one in a casket and get him any help. Amen. Some people wait for the hearse to take them to church. Amen. God wants us to get a vision before that day comes in their life and realize like these men did. They saw the need. Here's a man that could not help himself. But they said, you know what? We know you can't get down there, so we'll carry you down there. Amen. They helped him. Number two. They not only saw the need, but let me give you something real quickly. How many of y'all know revival's coming up? Amen. How many knows that just as soon as you set your heart and your mind, Brother Sam, you set your mind, we're going to be there every night. I tell you what, we're going to look for God to do great things. How many knows just as soon as you do that, the obstacles are coming up? Amen. They saw the need, Brother Randy, but they saw the obstacles. And you know what they did? They went on anyway. Glory to God, you're not going to do anything for the Lord. This church is not going to do anything for the Lord without some obstacles. But we need a little bit of Holy Ghost grit and determination to say we're going on anyway for the souls of men. You say obstacles. Yeah, they had to let him down through a roof. They said, man, that might take a while to dig a hole in that roof. It don't matter. Get at it. Dig a hole in that roof. Amen. Tear it up. Amen. I'll have a few things to say in a minute about that. I tell you, we need a vision. They saw the need. They saw the obstacles. And then they saw a way. God let them see a way to get him to Jesus. Amen. Let me ask you something. How many's ever heard the song, He makes a way where there is no way? Hallelujah. That's the God I serve. Amen. They were able to see a way to get him to Jesus. Amen. They need a vision. We need a vision. Number two, we need a vision for souls. Number one. Number two, we need to understand the value of one soul. I'm going to tell you something right now. What in the world would it be like? What would it be like, Brother Gale, to stand and preach a message and 3,000 people come to Christ like it did? Oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man. Amen. But you see, if we're not careful, what we do, we think about that and we forget about how good it is when one comes to Christ. The value of one soul. You say, preacher, where did you get that in the Bible? Well, the Bible said this. What shall a man gain if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I'm telling you, heaven knows what one soul's worth. Because every time one soul comes to Jesus, the Word of God said there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. More than 99 just persons that need no repentance. Hallelujah. We need a vision. Amen. But we need to understand the value of one soul. I believe with all my heart that when we understand that, you know, I'm not trying to be mean, but I'll just be honest. Brother Grizzle, if you come to me and you found some kind of document and said, Brother Vinoy, down there on that piece of property where you live, somebody buried a diamond that's as big as a baseball. I guess, Brother Grizzle, just every now and again, in between visits and in between services, I might take a mattock and dig around a little bit. Say amen. You say, well, preacher, why would you do that? because a diamond as big as a baseball is valuable. Say amen right there. I promised my wife when we got married rocks as big as diamonds. And so far, I've held to my word. Amen. Everywhere we live, there's rocks as big as diamonds. I'll guarantee it. Amen. Y'all get that on the way home, some of you. Amen. Some of you ain't even grinned yet. Amen. But thank God, there's nothing more valuable than a soul. If you had this room piled full of diamonds as big as your fist, it would not nearly touch the value of one soul. Can I tell you something tonight? I'm not preaching at you. I'm not even preaching to you. I'm just preaching the Word of God. But listen to me. Sometimes I believe when we get down to the end of the way, we're going to see that we've wasted a whole lot of our life on that that is not important. Nothing more important than a man's soul. Let me give you this tonight. Think about this for just a minute. A man said one time, I don't remember where I heard it preached. Brother Houston, a man said, he said, my greatest fear is not that I will fail. Listen to what I'm about to say. I hope it lodges in your heart the way it did in mine. Brother Grizzle, he said, my greatest fear is not that I will fear, but that I will succeed at something that really doesn't matter. Think about that for just a minute. You say, preacher, does that mean a man's never to succeed in business? No. Churches like this wouldn't be here if it wasn't for businessmen that had a heart for God. I'm just telling you, it's possible to live your life going after the wrong thing. God knows men's heart. God knows women's heart. We're getting ready to discuss things with the young people. How that you can ask the young people within that meeting up there. I preached to them and I said, you know, even mothers and fathers sometimes, they're trying to steer them in their career, steer them into success, steer them into money. Sometimes if a young man stood up and said, God called me to preach, a mom or a dad will say, son, you'll starve to death. Not if God told him he won't. If God called him, he ain't going to starve. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If he tries to do anything else, he'll be a miserable man. One time down at Liberty Baptist Church, I told him on a Sunday morning, I said, you know, if you come back tonight, I'll tell you what I want my kids to be when they grow up. I started with my oldest daughter, and this is what I said, Brother Gale. I said, I want my daughter to be exactly what God wants her to be. Got to my son, my only son, Jeremy. I know everybody was just waiting to say, boy, he wants him to be a missionary or he wants him to be a preacher. And I got to Jeremy, Brother Kyle, and I said, here's what I want my son, Jeremy, to be. I want him to be exactly what God wants him to be. He said, preacher, what are you getting at? Here's what I'm getting at. If my son tries to be a plumber and God wants him to be a preacher, he'll be miserable. But if he tries to be a preacher and God wants him to be a plumber, he'll still be miserable. We have to find the will of God for our lives and understand the value of one soul. Just one. Just one. Just one. We need a vision for souls. I may say amen. We need to understand the value of one soul. Now let me give you this and I'm done. We need victory in our own soul. Sister Teresa, if they see us out there on the street and our chin's on the ground and we can't even look up and the world's got us beat down so low, how in the world are we going to help them? We need some victory in our own soul. Amen. You say, well, preacher, it's dark out there. I say amen. I believe that's why God preaches about four messages on knocking holes in the darkness. Say amen. Let's grin a little bit. Amen. And serve the Lord a little while. We need victory in our own soul. Listen to me. Victory. Let me give you a couple things real quickly. The victory in this circumstance right here. Let me get couple of volunteers. Brother Kyle, you come up here. Brother Greg, come on up here right quick. You're young. You, Brother Greg, yeah. He thought I was talking to the wrong one. Maybe I was. He's old. Okay. Brother Will, come on up here. Brother, why would I do such a thing when I call your name every time I look? Luis, get on up here, buddy. That's old devil trying to cheat me out of my mind. Amen. Now watch this. Here these guys go. Stand right here. We're making this a kind of a rectangle. You right there, brother. All right. And you right here, okay? Now, all of you facing in the same direction. You're trying to get a man to Jesus. See, if you can't get a man to Jesus unless you're going in the same direction. Now, watch this. Now, all of you get a hold of your corner. Get your corner. See that stretcher right there? There's a lame man on it, Luis. Carry him. Don't let him down. Carry him. You can't have both corners, just that corner. The stretcher's right in here. Okay? Now, not only got to go in the same direction, but you've got to go at the same speed. So go. Go. Look at that, boys. Ain't that wonderful? Amen. That's wonderful, ain't it? All right, stop. Right there. Amen. You got to set him down a minute now so you can dig a hole in the roof. Set him down. All right. Now, dig a hole in the roof. Dig a hole in the roof. Amen. All right. All right. Now come back and get him. All right. Now, carry him over. I don't know if they dug a hole big enough, but anyway. Okay. Now, you're going to have a rope or something, ain't you? Ain't you? You're going to let him down, ain't you, Brother Greg?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now they got to do something else. They got to let him down at the same speed. You say, preacher, are you crazy? How many knows if one guy's going like this and the other guy's going like this? What if one of them drops his corner? Brother Rick Hall, what if all of us at Bible Way Baptist Church said, I got to have my corner and I can't drop it. I can't afford to drop my corner, Jesus, because if I do, we're going to lose somebody. We're going to lose a precious soul if I drop my corner. You say, preacher, what's it take to have victory? Number one, it takes unity. These guys got to be working together to get that man to Jesus. Thank you, Louise. You're a good man, buddy. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. We had an old man to lead them, didn't we, brother? Amen. You say, preacher, have you lost your mind? No, I just illustrated why a lot of churches will never see anything done for the glory of God.
Amen.
They can't walk together, Brother Gale. One wanting to go real fast, the other one wanting to drag his feet. Say amen. Wanting to say, that's enough. I've carried my corner long enough. And you know who always gets hurt in that situation? The weak. That's who always gets hurt. Those that are weak. God wants us tonight to say, hey, we can, how many's getting the idea? We need to bring one. Amen. They came bringing one. Bringing one. Bringing one. We need a vision for soul. We need to understand the value of a soul. But we need victory in our own soul. Number one, if we're going to have victory, it's going to take unity. I may say amen.
Amen.
Number two, it's going to take pity. Brother John, there's some people out there. It's in bad shape. Brother John, they don't need you and I looking down our nose at them. And, amen. They need somebody to come along in love and say, can I help you up? How many would just take 10 seconds and realize where you would be tonight without Jesus? Some of us would be in a bar room somewhere. Some of us would already be in a grave. Amen. We'd have done wrapped our vehicle around a pole or something. But hallelujah, God picked us up. And because He did, we ought to be working to bring one. He left us here. How many believes He left us here for a reason?
Yes,
for a reason.
Yes,
we need unity. And we need pity. Now I'm going to give you something else tonight that we need. I believe in this story right here. We see the value of that soul. We see a vision for souls. We need that unity. We need that pity. But I want you to see what we need. Look in verse number 12, I think it is. In verse number 12, and immediately he arose, he took up the bed, and he went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion.
Amen.
The Bible said they glorified God.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something right now? Listen to me carefully, please, church, right here. When we have unity and when we have pity, Brother Dan, are you back? You're back here, brother. I never have forgotten over your tear, gotten over your tears in that office in there, Brother Dan. But that man looked at me and said, "Preacher, there's such a need in our community." And he talked about the drugs. He talked about the alcohol. And I looked at those five men on that pulpit committee and I said, "You mean to tell me that people like that would be welcome in this church?" That sounds like pity to me. Say amen right there. That don't sound to me like a bunch of people that's already shining their halos and forgot where Jesus found them in the muck and the mire. They realize, amen, that drug addict tonight, he's got a drug problem, but he's got a heart problem. That alcoholic tonight, he's got an alcohol problem, but he's got a heart problem. Amen. That person laying out there in all those addictions tonight, their problem is their heart, and only Jesus can heal that problem. And they can't get to him themselves. They're lame. So, preacher, I thought the Lord came to us. He does. How many believe that? He came to me. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. But you know what? The Apostle Paul realized he was an ambassador for Christ. And he said, "We are." He didn't say, "You are." He didn't say, "I am." He said, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." I believe these four men that took their corner of that stretcher, tore that roof up, and let that man down, I believe they had victory in their spirit and in their soul. I tell you, I believe they had some determination. They said, "We're going to get him to Jesus, boys, and we ain't giving up until we do." Can I say something to you tonight? I'm preaching to myself right here. Sometimes we give up too easy. Am I right or am I wrong? Brother Larry, the setback that happened in Aaron's life just a little while back, it looking like two or three steps forward, and then there was that major setback. If you only knew, brother, how that hurt. When I heard that, I know it hurts you all. But I'm just telling you, some people right there, Brother Larry, just give up. Yeah. Amen. We can't give up. We got to go on. Amen. And we got to realize if we can just get them to Jesus, it'll be all right. Yeah. Well, I don't know what time it is, but I'm about done. Let me give you this tonight. We need a revival. Mark chapter 2. Where the Lord is present and preeminent. How many would say amen? Hey, watch this. I'd like to see a revival that raises the roof. How many say amen right there? Oh, you say, "Preach, that's that old wildfire." It don't have to be, not if it's revival fire. Amen. Oh boy, over in Wise County, he delivered my coal. I invited him to church. He said, "Preacher," he said, "if I was to come to your church," he said, "the roof would cave in." I told him, his name was Tony. I said, "Tony, just come on." I said, "I've been wanting to get in a good open air meeting for a long time. Let the roof cave in. But give us revival." About 2 weeks after I saw Tony over on Birchfield, there was a Free Will Baptist church over there. And the only reason I said that's because of what it was. Is a Free Will Baptist church. And we had about 3 feet of snow. And the roof couldn't take it. And the roof collapsed on that church. Next time Tony brought my coal, I said, "By the way, did you attend church over there on Birchfield?" He got it right quick. Amen. Everybody in the community knew the roof had collapsed. Amen. We need a revival that raises the roof. We need a revival like we never saw. They said they never saw it on this fashion. And let me give you this and I'm done. I'd like to see a revival, Brother Gary Joe, that makes a devil mad. The devil was mad right here, wasn't them Pharisees, them scribes, it was eating their lunch. Amen. They couldn't stand it because every time Jesus showed up, He spake as one having authority. Amen. And things happened when Jesus showed. Let me tell you something, church. When He shows up, things will happen. Amen. For the glory of God Almighty. We need a revival. Amen. Each one, bring one. They came unto Him. Have you got somebody on your heart, Hannah? Think. You're getting ready to go back to school. I'm not picking on you, honey. But if you think, God will put somebody on your heart. If you'll pray, you'll have a friend at school. Maybe a friend that don't, not even interested. You can say, hey, we're having revival. Would you just come one night with me? Would you just come one night? Brother Will, you believe God could put somebody on your heart? You could put your arm around them. We don't have to judge and condemn people. How many's ever heard somebody with a foul mouth? You know what I do in a situation like that? I put my arm around them and say, you know what? I used to talk just like that. But Jesus saved my soul. He gave me something wonderful to talk about. And if you'll look to Him, He'll save you too. Amen? We don't have to come down on people like we're better than they are. We can love them to Jesus. Brother Ron, would you pray and ask God to help you come bringing one? Brother Joe, all them people in that community, I've done heard, brother, they know where you stand. They know you love your church. They know you love your pastor. They know you love the Lord Jesus Christ. But don't you believe if you'd beg God that God might help you to bring one? Just bring one. What if we went down through our community and just told people, Brother Gale, I'm asking God to help me to bring one to revival. Would you be that one? Would you be willing to be that one that would go with me to the house of God in our revival meeting? You say, preacher, you've lost your mind. Well, leave me alone. I'm having a good time. Amen. I believe if we'd all get that burden on our heart, it doesn't matter how old we are or how young we are. Aubrey, my granddaughter, you're getting ready to go to school, honey. I believe with all of my heart, you could invite one of them little boys or one of them little girls at school and say, would you come? My papa's the pastor up there. Would you come to revival with us one night? I believe God can make a difference. Amen. If each one would just come bringing one. You know what we need? We need some victory, don't we? We need a vision, don't we, Brother Randy? And we need to understand the value of one soul. The value of one soul. If your kids was to get excited about bringing one, how many of you parents would support them? Raise your hand up there. Say amen. Your grandchildren get excited about bringing one. I'm going to tell you something right now. If we go through the meeting, Brother Houston, and you've tried your best, brother, and none of them came. Maybe pastor that tries his best and not a one of them came. We still realize we're all in this together. God's not going to reward us, Brother Gary, on the results. He's going to reward us on our faithfulness, brother. If we could come into this meeting, Brother Hall, say, Lord, you know, I've prayed. And you know, Lord, I've tried to do everything you asked me to do. Lord, I want you to help me to bring one. I believe if we'll do that, God will bless that effort. How many say amen? How many's glad you come to church tonight? Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you tonight in the name of Jesus for the privilege to be here tonight at Bible Way. Lord, I love you tonight. I love my people. And I thank God, Lord, that you love us. I pray now, Lord, tonight, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, in this moment that we have together. Help us tonight. And Lord, we'll give you glory.